Morning.
Good morning.
And God is good, isn't it?
Yes.
My plate's already pretty full right now. But this morning, before we go into the Word, amen, we're going to partake of communion. I'll ask the ushers and the elders to come. And while they're coming, I encourage you just to until your heart is clear before God. Hallelujah. Communion is a beautiful thing. Sacrament unto the Lord, a holy sacrament, amen. And it's a renewal, a confession, amen, a recommitment of our faith, of our commitment and dedication to Him, amen. And it's individual. Between you and God. That's why it's important that we examine ourselves and we say, Lord, if there's anything that's not like you in me, show me. Forgive me of my wrongs and indiscretions. The Eucharist, as it's called, is for the saved, those that have given their lives to the Lord. Amen. That's why I caution parents, amen, be mindful of your children. Amen. I want to read to you in your hearing from the book of John, starting in 6th chapter, starting in verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
The life of the world. The Jews therefore spoke among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that a man eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath ever eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. That's that seal that's put upon us. And then in 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 23, that for that which I have received of the Lord, I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many slaves. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen. The Lord is a loving God. Amen. And he gives us opportunity every day to draw close to him. Amen. And he wants us to think, amen, of the importance and the gravity of living for him and to walk after his ways. And every now and then, you know, you take your car in for a checkup, I hope. And you go to the doctor for a checkup, I hope. Amen. And this is one of them times when we got to come to the Lord for a checkup and say, Lord, how am I doing? Amen. And if we see something, just surrender it to him. Give it to him. Amen. And he's quick to love and forgive. Amen. So I'll turn you over to the hands of the ushers and the elders as you follow their instructions. And then we will pray.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blood that makes me white as snow. No other fountain knows. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other things I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Can wash away my sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can make me whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No but the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody been served. Film over your bread.
If I need desires to be served, then, sir, we'll serve.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now. Lord, for the sacrifice, for the body and blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, which these elements represent. Lord, and we partake of them today, Lord, in remembrance and commitment unto the sacrifice that you made for our salvation. We thank you, Lord. And the scripture said when he had taken and giving thanks, he break it. They take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I know it was a blood for me.
Empty cups to the end of the aisle, and they will be picked up.
One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was a blood for me.
Well, I know.
I know it was blood.
I know.
I know it was a blood.
I know.
I know it was a blood
for me.
One day when I was lost,
he died
upon the cross.
I know
it was a blood for me.
Oh, it was Jesus' precious blood.
Jesus' precious blood.
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus' precious blood.
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus' precious blood.
For me. One day
when I was lost,
He died
upon the cross.
I know it was the blood for me.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask you right now, Lord, to just be in our midst, Lord, as we look into your word this morning. Set our hearts and our minds on you. Lord, let us be open and receptive to hear what your spirit is saying unto the church. God, move me out of the way. Lord, that you can have your way in it. Lord, speak to each one of us. Lord, as you speak to our hearts, Lord, help us to receive and heed and apply your word in our lives. Lord, we thank you right now for each one here and those online. So let your spirit move in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We go ahead and release our children to their class. Class is. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's so cute. Like, see you later. Amen. That's awesome. Amen. God is so good. Amen. As we look at these babies, amen. Thank God for them. And I'm like Pastor Lynn, just continue to keep two young ladies that's missing up in prayer. Amen. Whether they ran away or in some way were taken, we know that God knows exactly where they are. Amen. And we pray for a good outcome in this whole situation. Hallelujah. So this morning, I want to continue the message that I began on May 4th, the week before Mother's Day. Amen. And we were dealing with, who remembers what we were dealing with? Let me see if y'all could go back a month. Oh, nobody. Nobody. May 4th. Amen. Mind over matter. That's right there. Yeah, somebody got some mind working over the matter. Amen. Mind over matter. So we're going to do part two today, and hopefully we'll just wrap it all up. Amen. If y'all would help me. Amen. Just help me get this done. Amen. Because truly, you know, there's so much that God wants us to know and understand, and it's just continually digging in and striving, amen, to get a better and better understanding as we walk after the ways of God, amen. There's a lot of understanding about Christ and the power that you and I possess that enables us to live a victorious Christian life in this present world. Sometimes you feel like it's hard. It don't have to be. Amen. It's challenging. It can be. But you can have the victory because we got Jesus on board. And the scripture said, greater is he that is what? In me than he that's in the world. Amen. So if we tap into that power, the resources that he's given us, amen, we can, amen. And I don't know about you, I want to live a life that demonstrates victorious living in Christ. amen, a significant life that leads and points others, amen, to what matters, amen, in the Lord. Amen. Now we can talk about a whole lot of things, amen, but nothing is more important than our relationship with God. Because as Pastor Linda was speaking this morning about, you know, when we leave here, where you going to go? Amen. Because we all got to go somewhere. Amen. Amen. And I, you know, after reading the scripture and studying it for as long as I have, amen, I know where I want to go. And I know where I don't want to go. Right? I mean, as a young boy, I used to think about what is there about this life? What's after this life? Amen. And God has truly revealed himself, amen, in so many ways to me. And I know, amen, that this is just the, as I put it, the proving ground. Amen. So that we can align ourselves, amen. And by your actions or my actions, we determine, amen, our ultimate destiny. Now, God knows where he wants us to go.
Yes,
but it's up to you and I, amen. Amen. To make it there. Amen. And he's not leaving us on our own. He gives us help. Just tell somebody, I got some help. Amen. And it's greater than me. It's greater than you. That help is the Holy Spirit, amen, that he wants to operate in us. So he didn't just put us here to flail around, amen. He gave us something to lead and guide and direct us if we would just yield, amen, to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we were speaking about the topic of mind over matter, we covered a lot of ground, amen, and laid some foundation to work from. So what, again, is mind over matter, amen, really talking about, amen? What's that all about, amen, in practical terms, amen, to think about mind over matter? But as I was saying before, everything you see, touch, smell, taste, hear, amen, all that, that's matter, amen. If you can smell it, you can touch it, you can see it, amen. Even gases, amen, the breath you breathe is matter. Well, I can't. Because if you can see the effects of it, it's matter. It takes up space. Amen. And you can only put so much air in this bottle before it bursts because it can't hold all that air. Amen. It's the same thing. Amen. You see your chest rise and fall. Amen. So everything we see, but the things that we don't see, amen, especially spiritually, are even more important than matter. Amen. But if we don't understand that, we will think this is all there is. And I want us to think way, way, way beyond that, amen, as the scriptures helped us to understand, amen. So as we look at it again, amen, to gain understanding, amen, this speaks to a spiritual and natural mental renewal of how we think, amen, leads to true spiritual transformation. Amen. Transform, amen. How many of us ever seen the movie Transformers?
Yeah,
now the Holy got his hand way up. Amen. But see, he wants us to transform, but he don't want us to go back. You know, Transformers, they go back and forth.
Right.
Amen. I hope we ain't got them kind of Transformers in here. Amen. He wants us, once we transform to the spiritual man, amen, or woman, amen, then he wants you to remain in that state, not going back and forth. And I think I'm not the only one in here know what it's like to go back and forth. I wasn't always saved, and I didn't get it right the first time, right? So I know what that's talking about, amen. But thank God, amen, I think I've been doing pretty good, amen. Notice I say I think, but he thinks really matters, right? And so, but I think I've been doing pretty good, amen, and staying in the spiritually transformed condition, amen. And see, that implies, amen, that the mind, our way of thinking, directly affects how we live in the physical world. Amen. See, oftentimes we let the world affect us rather than our thinking affect our engagement with the world. Amen. And that's the way it should be. Amen. Because why? God wants to form our thinking, our actions, and all those things. And he's given you and me the power, amen, to control our thoughts. And so we don't have to let them run rampant. We don't have to let every stray dog of a thought run through our head and take charge. Amen. So we gotta you know, corral these things, bring it in control. In Proverbs 23:7, it says, the first part of that verse says this: For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's a short part, amen. The other part, amen, it goes into a whole other area. But as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what that tells me, amen, is our thoughts determine our life. Amen. Our responses, our actions, amen, our choices, amen. It's so powerful is the thought and the belief, amen, that it shapes our reality and our behavior. And if it's a wrong thought, it's going to shape the wrong type of reality, amen, and obviously the wrong behavior. So we got to work on that, amen. How many of us can use some work with our thoughts?
Amen. That's the Lord. That's the Lord.
It's in the room. Right? It's in the room, amen. We need some help, amen. And again, we're not alone. We're not by ourselves, amen, because if given over to our radical or even toxic thoughts, we would destroy ourselves, amen, and everything and everyone around us, amen. You've been around a toxic person. Don't call no names, you know, but y'all know what I'm talking about, and I hope you ain't that person, right? But we know, amen, because no, just all this negativity and craziness and all that, I got, no. That should not be us, amen, as the children of God. In Ephesians 4, amen, verses 21 to 24, it says this. If so be that ye have heard him, talking about Christ, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Christ, that ye put off the former conversation, the old man. Now, he said, if you've learned anything about Christ, amen, and try to be like him, he said, well, and this is the part that I look at. Ye, he said, you put off.
Yeah.
See, we waiting for God to do the work. But he said, you put off, amen, the former conversation of the old man. And when it says conversation, it's just not talking about words. It's talking about actions. It's talking about deeds, amen. It's talking about all that. And he said, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And that lust is for this world, amen, of this flesh, amen, of all those things, amen, that get us off course. Amen. 23rd verse says, and be renewed in in the spirit of your mind.
Yeah.
Amen. Now when it says your mind, it's not talking about your brain.
Come on, Jesus.
Amen. It's talking about your spirit. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, of how you think. Because your thinking, amen, is what forms the thoughts, amen, that are recorded in your brain. If you took your brain out and put it on the table, what would happen? Nothing. You'd be done. You know, and just the same as you took out your heart. There's something about these bodies, amen, that keeps it alive. And see, oftentimes we think our thoughts come from our brain, but the only way those thoughts come from our brain is that they've been recorded in the brain by our thoughts previously, and our brain reaches back and pulls out our memories, amen, for things we have engaged and recorded in our brain. Amen. Your spirit man, amen, is where a new thought is captured and is categorized. Amen. And by that experience, amen, it's recorded in your brain. And so you reach back in that memory it's amazing. The brain just always amazes me. Amen. How fast it operates. But it can reach back through the library of your life and find that one time or that one situation that you might have forgot about. And all of a sudden you stressed. Or as people say, you triggered. Because it can go all the way back and grab that negative place and boom, it's right there because something resembled it. And your brain said, I felt this before. Where did I store that? And before you can think, it's already there. And you're responding to what was recorded. Because when a child is born, their brain is like a blank slate. And as we teach them to speak, they record it. As they go through life's experience, we record it. Your brain is a recorder, but it also develops those thoughts. And what you think about more and more, y'all have heard me say this so many times, that's what's going to grow.
Come on, Jesus.
And that's what's going to become the predominant place, amen, that you operate from. But the greatest thing about all that is we have the ability to rewire our brain. Science has proven it. Amen. You can rewire and rechange and reorganize the way you think or the way you see an experience that was negative, that was thrust upon you. Amen. Sometimes we take responsibility when you weren't responsible. So you can rearrange that whole situation to have a new experience. Amen. A new outlook of that situation so it's no longer triggering. Right? Just trying to help us a little bit. In the 24th verse says, and that ye put on, this is intentional, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. So he's telling you, you got to put off the old ways. You know, we say, God, take this from me. He's saying, you put it off. I gave you the power. I gave you the ability. You put it off. You surrender. You let it go. Amen. And then he says, put on the new. Amen. You know, I don't want us to be them people who change clothes all the time, spiritually. Put this on, take it off. When you go to work, you put on the old man. When you come to church, you put on the new.
Lord Jesus.
Then you get home, you take the suit off, and you're back to the old person again. Amen. No. He said, keep on which is created in righteousness and true holiness. 24/7, right? He wants us to be like Christ. You know, the scripture says he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Amen. He wants us to be the same way. Amen. Amen. This verse helps us to understand that we have a powerful choice to make every single day. In every encounter, we decide and we determine, amen, the change in the way that we're going to deal with things that are going on around us. Amen. Because one thing you are in control of is your thoughts.
That's right.
You control your thoughts. You can't control stuff around you because a lot of things are way beyond our control, right? But you have the power to control your thoughts. And once you realize that, you're going to find the strength to deal with whatever comes your way. Because I don't have to fall prey to all the things, all the stimuluses of this world, amen, that's around me trying to get me to react and respond and all these things, amen. No, I am a child of God, and he is my help.
Yes.
Amen. He is what centers me. He is what helps me. He is what my worldview is centered from. And when you get to that place, amen, you can see things a whole lot clearer. Amen. Then trying to figure out everything coming at you from all kinds of directions. Amen. And now you're trying to be this over there. You're trying to be that over there. You're trying to be another thing at home. You're just all over the place. But he wants you to just your thoughts centered in Christ. Amen. Let him be that focus, that focal point of everything. And when you do that, now you can operate from a stable mind. Amen. You can operate like he therefore wants us to operate. Look what it says in Galatians 5, 16 and 17. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, right? And ye shall not, right? That's pretty strong. It says, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 17th verse says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And I know that, you know, I'm not the only one that's ever felt that pull back and forth between the Spirit and the flesh. Or maybe I could just say it like this, from right and wrong.
Come on, Jesus. Amen.
Right? Because when you know to do good, amen, but the circumstances and the environment and the situation is saying, come join us over here, come be this person, amen, and you got this struggle of this tug of war going on the inside, who's going to win? Because he said, if you walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. And it goes on and talks about all what the lust of the flesh is. We don't have to go into all that. We already know. But the Spirit's going to let us know. So we can get to a place to recognize, amen, that there's a warfare going on. And which side do you want to win? Which side do y'all think going to win? The God side. All the time. I'll put it to you like this. Say that again, dig on.
The one that you feed.
The one you feed the most. It's going to be the strongest. Amen? You know, this is plain and simple. Whichever one is the strongest, amen, is going to rise above. You know, I seen this little video online. It was about a bunch of dogs in the kennel. And they had this one German shepherd that had just been put in the kennel. And he was picking fights with all the dogs because he wanted to be the alpha male. I mean, he had three or four dogs, and he's picking on all of them. And then it switches, and it says the alpha shows up. And this little white dog was flurry, fluffy. I mean, he wasn't really no little chihuahua, but he was smaller than the German shepherd. You know, and he comes walking from the other side of the kennel, and a Great Dane literally bowed down to him. And by the Great Dane, a German shepherd, you know, he rose up and barked like, the alpha's here. And he walked over to the dog that was starting all the trouble. And this dog saw him coming. And he rolled over on his back and put his paws like this. Like, submitted. Without, the dog didn't even bark. He just walked up on him. And you know what the little white dog did? He looked at him. He snarled a little bit. And he put his feet right on his chest. And let him know, this is my yard. I ain't going to put up with no trouble. And I tell you all that because when I look at it, I'm like, wow, that should be our spirit, man. That when all that ruckus starts up, amen, in your mind and your heart, where's the alpha? Who's the alpha that said, no, we ain't doing this? We're going to have peace up in here.
Huh?
We know who's in charge. See, because if the wrong one's the alpha, you in trouble. I think I need to get that video and just put it on so y'all can see it. It's amazing. And this particular type of dog is bred in China, and they're very rare. And I tell you, when I saw that, I had to do some research. I'm like, wow, they're very expensive. They're very rare, but they know who they are. Amen. And see, let me stop making the comparisons. I feel like the Holy Spirit is very rare sometimes. But when it shows up, amen, we know who's in charge. Everybody knows. Amen. And see, we got to get there. So we want to bring our minds. We got to put off the old, put on the new. Amen. Because this is where the spiritual mind overcomes physical desire. These physical draws, amen. This is where we begin to see mind over matter, amen. And that's both, amen, the physical matter, and that's also in what matters. Because we got to stop and think about both of those, amen. We look at this, amen. You know, when we're mindful, they say scientifically, mindfulness is self-regulating, and the mindfulness and self-regulation studies show that sustained attention to inner values and goals enhance the ability to delay gratification and resist temptation. In other words, if you're thinking right, you can hold out. You ain't got to give in. Why? But you got to keep on thinking right. Got to keep on praying. 2 Corinthians, let's look at what this one says. 10th chapter, verses 3 through 6. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, how many times we find ourselves fighting against flesh and blood? Amen. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. What is a stronghold? Something that's hard to get rid of. He said control on this side. A stronghold is a mindset. It's a place, amen, that has set up a stronghold or a fortress in your mind, but it's not true. It's not good. It's not right. But it's a stronghold that wants to remain, amen. And he's letting us know, amen, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not going to look at it from a carnal position, amen, because our weapons are mighty through God, amen. And the might that we get through God is truth, amen. And it's operating by his spirit. And we can pull down every stronghold that the enemy has set up in our mind through our culture, amen, through situations we've been through or things we may have done, amen. He can pull those strongholds down, amen, that's stopping you from being who God wants you to be, who God created you, who God called you to be. He can tear down those strongholds from a spiritual standpoint, amen, because, again, it's mind over matter. Those strongholds were built up because of thoughts and experiences, amen, that caused negative strongholds to be built up in our minds. And he said we can pull down those things, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, everything that's going against God's knowledge, our knowledge and understanding of him, everything that's causing us not to be who he's called us to be and operate like he wants us to operate, you know, then we can dismantle all that stuff with spiritual truth, with spiritual understanding. Amen. You can cast it down. It no longer has to have authority. Anybody ever struggle with your imagination? Oh, we got some that will tell the truth. Amen. Right? Imagination starts with these images in your mind, whatever they might be. It might be prideful imaginations. We're not always talking about lustful things. Except for pride can be very lustful. I want more and more pride. I want people to bow down to me. I want people to recognize me. I want people to honor me. I want people to know who I am and how smart I am and what I got.
Help them today, Jesus. Thank you.
And it's never enough. But he said we can tear all that stuff down. Amen. He wants us to walk in a spirit of humility. Amen. While yet understanding our power and authority. You know, it's funny when you see a lot of wealthy people can be right in your midst and you wouldn't even know it.
Come on, Pastor David, tell the truth.
You wouldn't even know it. But then you see the people that's perpetrating. They got all the bling. You know, they out loud. They got the car they can barely afford. And they don't got no insurance because the car payment took it all. You know. And they got the latest knockoff purse, you know, and the Gucci shoes, and you know they got all this, but they broke as a goat.
Come on now.
And want you to think that they got it all going on. Oh, y'all know the type of talking. Y'all know what I'm talking. Cause people who ain't trying to prove nothing. I look at people like, what is the name, Simon? Simon Cowell on one of them shows. He don't come in there with no suit on. He don't come in there all blinged. He wear a T-shirt. He ain't trying to prove nothing. Then you look at the one that everybody mad at, Elon. He walks around in T-shirts most of the time. For a long time, he didn't even have his own house. He was couch surfing. This man, one of the richest men in the world, couch surfing. Because he got so many friends he can hang out with. Because they want to be around him. But he got a better brain. I ain't got to buy no couch. I can just kick it with y'all. I can buy it if I want to, but I'm not materialistic like that, you know. But see, we are trying to prove something when we ain't got nothing. Let me leave y'all alone. But y'all hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
Be who God has made you to be. Stop trying to impress people.
That's right.
and impress God.
Amen.
That's the number one thing. I always say, if I please God, everybody else is going to be all right. Whether they realize it or not, they'll be all right. They'll get over it, right? Because I'm out to please God. They can be mad at me, but that's okay. I'm out to please God. And if we just please him, he'll work out the rest. I mean, he's proven it over and over and over again. Amen. But it's how we think. And what I tell y'all the last time I said, we got to stop and think about what we're thinking.
Yes. Amen. That's the truth. Amen.
You ever just let thoughts run rampant through your mind and don't even question the thoughts? No. You see, we got to stop and think, why am I even thinking? This is crazy. This don't make no sense. You know, but yet we don't pause and filter the thoughts, amen, that come into our head. Amen. Things that we look at and we think, or we think about others, amen. That's another place. He said, you know, in the study in metacognition, it says thinking about one's own thinking shows that self-awareness can interpret negative thought cycles, allowing more constructive mental habits to form. If you just pause long enough to think about that thought.
That's it.
You know, the devil ever tell you, you know, drop something in your head, she hates you.
Come on, Jesus.
Because maybe she walked by, she mentally, her mind is somewhere else, and she didn't say hi.
Come on, Father David.
She didn't pause and give you a hug and say, praise the Lord. The enemy says, she got something against you. Why would you think that? So you got to think about that thought. Oh, they did that on purpose. Why would you think that? Huh? Why would you think, you know, they did it on purpose? Maybe they don't even know what you're upset about. And you ain't talked to them for 5 weeks because you let that thought run through and separate you from your brother or sister. But you didn't question the thought, nor did you follow with them and say, bro, when you went by, was you okay? I felt a little something. I don't want no crazy thoughts going on in my head.
Lord Jesus.
But see, we don't grab those thoughts. We let them take root. And every time we see that person or feel that situation, we feed that thought some more, and we feed that thought some more until that thought becomes the prominent thought. Amen. So every time we see him or her, we mad. Because you just done fed it.
Uh-huh.
It's got no foundation except a thought.
Oh,
we do it.
Jesus.
Rather than say, hold up.
Thank
hold
you.
The phone. My brother says, I know they love me. And I sure enough love them.
Amen.
And I'm not going to let no negative thought
change
that. If I got to address it, I'm going to address it for my mental wellness. For my spiritual wellness, and to make sure that I don't let nothing grow in my heart or my mind.
Hallelujah.
And you can apply that on your job. How many people on your job you don't like because, well, let me let them.
Oh, bless the Lord.
Hmm? See, it's bringing every thought. Didn't we just read that? Every thought. Because if we let them thoughts just keep on growing, they're going to grow. And they're gonna have their way in our lives, amen. So we gotta grab hold of some self-control, amen. As we walk through this thing, amen, and begin to understand, because the phrase mind over matter again is not found in the Bible, but the scriptures so strongly imply and talk about our power, amen, over thoughts and over these things. It helps us to understand that, you know what, there's got to be something to this. There's got to be some truth to this. There's got to be some understanding that we can grab hold of, amen, so that we can grow and we can dig deeper.
Yeah.
Every thought don't belong in your head.
That's right.
Just think about that for a minute. It don't belong in your head. Don't even entertain it.
Amen.
You know what I said last time? He said, if you leave that thought alone,
right,
how long is it going to be there? It will literally disappear and not be stored in your memory within 24 to 48 hours, gone. The formation that began in your brain from that thought will disappear. It will reverse itself. But if we feed it, we build it. And we build it. And it grows more and more and more and more. We got to look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Yeah, see, he said, then we got to control. You got some control. Self-control is called temperance in Scripture. It's talking about self-control. But it says this. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It says, against such there is no law. No law against these things, amen. If we operate in these things, so when I go back to the scripture we just read, say, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you walk in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit is going to produce these fruit in our life.
Yeah.
Amen. And see, now we're going to begin to see love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. You know, we're going to begin to see those things. Why? Because we're walking in the Spirit. But if you're walking after the flesh, oh, my goodness. Now that's a whole nother side of the coin there. Then we're dealing with anger and hatred and lust and all the negative things, because that's where the flesh lives. But we live in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Because He tells us, amen, that if we would just operate in these things in the Spirit, amen, what negativity would have a place to hang out in our hearts? It wouldn't have no room, right? Long suffering. Even if she did walk by you, long suffering kicks in.
Come on, Jesus.
Right? Peace kicks in. Love kicks in. You know. See. So if we would operate in those laws, amen, and those in the Spirit, we wouldn't have all so much of this crazy stuff that wants to overtake us, amen. Temperance, amen. It helps us to master the desires and the emotions. Amen, that want to rise up in this flesh, amen, because it's reaching back and pulling things from the past and old experiences, and now I'm responding in the old way rather than responding in the new way, amen, because I have a renewed spirit, I have a renewed mind in Christ.
Yes.
Can't nobody renew your mind but you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want you to think about that. Wouldn't it be wonderful if when we got saved, you know, the Lord would just give us a brain dump? You know how you wipe the old hard drive in the computer and you give it a fresh new load? You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if He could do that, just wipe it all away and give us a whole new download of Holy Spirit 3.0? And that's your new operating system. So all that old stuff, it don't work that way. But He's saying you can clean up your hard drive. You know, He gives us, if I could say it like this, He gives us virus protection. Amen. And He gives us a VPN, and He gives us all those things that protect. Amen. And now we can go in and start cleaning up all them junk files and all those old caches and all that stuff that's in your head. Amen. That's using up memory and using up good space. Amen. And, you know, and reformat your drive. Amen. And get rid of all that stuff. So now you can think clearly. He's not going to do that for us. But by focusing on His word, meditating on His word. Sometimes people don't like the word meditation in church. That's a transcendental meditation, and they meditate in yoga, and they meditate on it. The scripture tells you and me to meditate on His word. Huh? Where you think they got the principle of meditation from? He said meditate on His word day and night. In other words, if you begin to just let the word generate, the word operate, the word purge, the word change, the word help us to walk it out. Amen. Now you are going through the process of cleaning up your mental hard drive. Because why? It's going to purge all that old stuff out. It's going to change the way we see it, change the way we think, and thereby change the way we operate. Amen. Last time I said, you know, we can't operate when in the can't help it. Amen. Because if you can't help it, God can. You just got to let Him. Got to yield to Him. Isn't that right? Say, help me, Lord. Look at my time is gone already. But I want us to understand this. I want us to wrap our minds around the fact that you don't have to be out of control.
Amen.
Thoughts don't have to dominate your life. Negative thoughts, amen. And I say negative, but you know, literally, in the scientific world, they literally call them toxic thoughts. Because they are toxic. They're not producing anything good, amen, and they can grow and make things more and more toxic in your life, toxic in your mind, and we need to get rid of it and get those things out, you know. Oh, goodness, help me, Holy Spirit. Anybody here been drunk? You ain't got to tell on yourself. But, huh? Yeah, well, then those few of you, no, those many of you who raised your hand, amen, you know that when you're intoxicated, you're out of control, right? That's why you end up getting DUIs and saying crazy things and doing stupid stuff. You might be intoxicated with liquor, on drugs, whatever it is, amen. But the word itself tells you it's a problem. Intoxicated. It's toxic to your body. It's toxic to your brain. Amen. And I say that to say this. We walk around with drunk minds. We're intoxicated with negativity. And then we wonder why are we saying crazy things or doing crazy things or feeling crazy, because your brain is intoxicated with toxic thoughts. And I say it's time to sober up. And the scripture tells us, amen, to think soberly. Amen. It talks about being spiritually sober. Amen. But this world wants to keep us intoxicated mentally. Believing and walking in lies and untruths and all these things, amen. Operating in ways that are totally contrary to the word of God. Intoxicated with these thoughts. And we so much so that we believe it's real.
Amen.
You know how they say, well, if I get a couple of drinks in me, now I got some liquid courage. Now you got liquid stupidity showing up, but you just don't, you feel correct. See, so we got this toxic thoughts that make us feel powerful, but it's off the wall. It's crazy. And God wants to bring his people back to a sober mind with a sober understanding of the word of God, so that we can live in a way that honors him, that glorifies him, and draws others unto him. That's when we become the light and salt. Amen. When we align ourselves up with the will and the word of God. That's our help and our strength. But again, we can't do it on our own. Amen. We gotta say, help me, Lord. To humble myself. Help me, Lord. To slow down, amen, and be who you want me to be. Slow to speak. Quick to hear. Say, think about this. Two ears and one mouth. In other words, you should be listening twice as much as we talk. Huh? Be quick to hear. Quick to hear. Quick to hear. Slow to speak. Amen? He wants us to slow it down. Question our thoughts. Question our actions and say, first of all, does that line up with the word of God? Does that line up with the will of God? Because we can justify almost anything to ourselves. But when we filter it through the word of God, when we filter it through his word, amen, and we filter it through the Spirit, that will help us to make better choices, better decisions, amen. It will help us, amen, to align ourselves with God. Because it may seem good, it may feel good, that don't mean it is good.
That's right.
Right? I want to help us so that we operate in sound mind and body and soul. Amen. That God can get the glory out of our lives.
Yeah.
Amen. Remember, your mind is a beautiful thing. And you don't have to let the enemy make it a playground.
That's right.
Not at all. Order your thoughts. Bring them into control, amen, because then our actions will follow. Amen. We cast down the negative. How many times we just let a negative thought, and I just got to keep going there because, you know, we grab thoughts about circumstances, situations, and even people, even those we love, and we'll let that thought rest in our minds, and we begin to respond without verifying.
Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, if I go to my brother David and say, brother, you kind of looked at me crazy. Is there a problem between me? Because I feel like my thoughts are saying that. I said, no, man, I wasn't even thinking about you. My mind was somewhere else. We good. But if I just grab that thought and say, why he looking at me crazy? I go home telling my wife, they looked at me crazy today. I don't know what's wrong with him. You know, not without him. I done planted the thought in her mind. And now we both, if we don't capture that thought, that's how easy it takes place. That's how easy. But if we can go verify, God don't want us just grabbing any little thing. Let's stand. I'm gonna leave y'all alone because we got baptism to do here. Amen. And if there's anybody else want to get baptized, y'all just let us know. Amen. We got a baptism, amen, and after that we got our fellowship luncheon. So everybody's invited to stay and break bread with us
today.
Amen. We enjoying that. We
worship you today.
But right now I just want to open
the
altar. If you're here and you're struggling with thoughts, or you got thoughts you want to lay down before God, I invite you to come.
We worship you.
You don't want your mind to be a playground anymore.
We worship you. We worship you today. We worship you. We worship you today. We love you. We love you today. We love you today. We love you today.
We
love you today.
We honor you.
We honor you today.
I mean, there's so many questions you can ask.
We honor you today.
We honor you.
We honor
you today. We honor you today,
and we love you.
We love you today.
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 We worship.
We worship you today.
We worship you today.
We worship you today.
We worship you.
We worship you today.
We need you.
We need you today.
We need you.
We need you today. Today,
we need you.
We need you today.
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 Lord, you're such an awesome God. You know.
We love you today.
We love you.
We love you today.
We love you.
We
Baptism coming here in a few minutes. Amen. And we would love to take down as many as we can.